Fan on Demand. Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe, for the next hour. We're going to talk mixed martial arts, battlegrounds MMA, UFC, legalities in mixed martial arts, and so much more right here on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. You can follow me online at Showdown Joe. And if you have been in the past, you knew about my crazy week in Dallas covering UFC 171. A new champion was crowned in the UFC's welterweight division. The era of George St. Pierre has come to an end, and Johnny Hendricks is the new UFC welterweight champion, although he is extremely busted up. If you missed some of those interviews that I did with Johnny Hendricks, his opponent, Ruthless Robbie Lawler, and of course, Tyron Woodley, who emerged victorious versus Carlos Condit, check out sportsnet.ca, go to the UFC section or the MMA section. Everything is there. Behind the glass tonight, making sure I keep myself in line, of course, is Derek Brandao, and Brandao is not fighting this weekend in Brazil. It's Diego Brandao that's fighting. He's shaking his head. He wants to make sure that is clear. My producer tonight is Mark Boffo. He's nervous because I told him he's got to come on the air to talk UFC and mixed martial arts, and he ran. He ran so fast. I think he must have lost more weight than Johnny Hendricks had to lose that day when he had to get back onto that scale. A nice little show for you tonight. We're going to talk all kinds of things. We'll talk about some Ultimate Fighter Nation stuff. We'll be joined by Chad Laprise, who was victorious yesterday on the Ultimate Fighter Nation show that you saw on Sportsnet 360. He defeated close friend and training partner Ragin' Cajun Johnson in what may be, I was talking with a whole bunch of folks throughout since the episode and trying to figure out if that was the most emotionally charged episode of the Ultimate Fighter since day one in 2005, other than the Ultimate Fighter finale between Stephen Bonner and Forrest Griffin, because that show, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you, I was fighting back tears watching two friends that I know compete and try and get to the next level, and just the way how everything went down. We'll discuss that with Chad momentarily as he moves on to the finals, the Ultimate Fighter finale, Ultimate Nations finale, Canada versus Australia. He'll be competing in Quebec City Wednesday, April 16th. Get your tickets if you want to check that out, because I'm telling you right now, based on that episode yesterday, two stars were born. One, Chad Laprise, who makes it to the finale, and of course, Cajun Johnson for the two stories that these guys told, and Cajun's at the very end was very, very emotional. If you missed it, I'm hoping there's some replays. If not, get UFC Fight Pass. You can check it out there for sure. We'll also hear from Brian O'Rourke. Brian O'Rourke is one of the managing partners for Battlegrounds MMA. What's old is new again, ladies and gentlemen. This sport started in North America with a single elimination, 8-man tournament. Everybody fights in one night. One man is crowned champion. Brian and his partners are bringing that back to Tulsa, Oklahoma. One night, 8-man tournament, single elimination. He will talk more about that, and I'm telling you, it is going to be absolutely fantastic. I am endeavoring to do whatever I can to get out there, because I can tell you right now, the winner of this tournament not only gets $50,000, but instant stardom. If you're an old school mixed martial arts fan and you saw it in the early days in the UFC with Royce Gracie, and you saw it so many times with the Pride Grand Prix, the winner of these tournaments is almost an instant superstar. And this, in this day and age of mixed martial arts, where the tournament format is virtually gone, it's pretty much gone, it's bringing it back. And I'm telling you right now that whoever emerges victorious there in Tulsa, Oklahoma, on June 27th. It's at the Box Center in Tulsa. It is going to be fantastic. I'm trying to get out there. It's a bit of a way from Toronto, but I'm trying to get out there. And we're also going to hear a little bit later on from Laith Kafoor, who's putting on a town hall session for a whole bunch of things related to mixed martial arts, concussions. They're bringing in one of the senior VPs from the Ultimate Fighting Championship, Michael Murch. Tom Wright is going to be there. It is going to be absolutely fantastic. I'm so glad that they invited me out. Laith, by the way, is a Canadian sports entertainment and crisis management attorney with Lucetum Sports and Entertainment Law. This is going to be an amazing, amazing town hall. If you get a chance, you definitely want to be out there. We'll give you more information, but this is the next generation stuff we're talking about, mixed martial arts. We got Chad on the line, boys. All right, we're joined right now by Chad Laprise. You can follow Chad online. He is the disciple, but you can follow him on Twitter at Chad Laprise. Chad, what's going on, my man?
How are you, Joe?
Well, you tell me, my man. I mean, after watching you and Cajun go down, and people are saying it's one of the greatest knockouts in UFC, or at least Ultimate Fighter history, obviously it was a very emotionally charged episode. Now that you got to see it, what went through your mind?
You know, it was definitely tough for me to fight Cajun on that show. You know, that was the last thing in the world that I definitely wanted to do. You know, Cajun, he's a super tough guy. Him and I are friends. We trained together at TriStar. And, you know, I was gunning for Rich the whole time. And when they announced that fight, you know, I was almost heartbroken. But then I right away had to switch my mentality and do what had to be done.
How did you deal with it mentally, though, to the fact that, listen, fighting someone else from another camp and another part of the world, you know, whether it's an Australian or in your previous fights before you got to the Ultimate Fighter, you don't know this dude. It's just business. Now you got to put business in front of a friendship. How difficult was it to prepare for that? I mean, walk us through the mindset the night before.
Yeah, it was very difficult. You know, for me, I just kind of had to check out of the situation. You know, I kind of isolated myself a little bit from the team. I actually hung out with a lot of the Australians, and I didn't think about it a lot. You know, luckily for me, we were announced that fight on like a Wednesday, and then we weighed in on a Thursday, and then fought like right away. So I didn't have a whole lot of time to stew on it, and I was just like, I knew it would be the toughest fight of my life, and I had to go in there and take care of business.
We're on the line right now with Chad Laprise. He is representing Team Tonkins, of course, Adrenaline MMA. And for those that don't know, if you have a conversation with Mark Hominick, obviously you know Mark Hominick's retired now, but a superstar in the world of mixed martial arts, he will vehemently say that Chad Laprise is the best striker to ever come out with the name branded on Team Tompkins. And I'm telling you guys right now, we have not seen the best of Chad Laprise. You mark my words, we have not seen the best of Chad Laprise yet. He's on the line with us right now. You can follow him on Twitter, at Chad Laprise. Have you had a chance to speak with Cajun since the episode aired?
No, we haven't talked, obviously, on the phone or anything, but we've sent a few tweets out. Back and forth, just kind of congratulating each other, and yeah, that's about it so far.
Now, the issue, I mean, and you and I have talked about this in the past, I mean, even before, you know, actually just after you got announced for The Ultimate Fighter, editing is one thing when it comes to reality TV, and unfortunately, and pardon the pun, it is a reality. It is editing, it is what it is, but what I've noticed today is all three parties, actually more than three parties, for some reason, because of, you know, obviously the editing, are getting a lot of backlash. Patrick Cote is getting backlash. Cajun Johnson's getting backlash. You are getting backlash. How have you had to deal with that?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely like people have to realize that, you know, it's a reality TV show, and things don't always go down the way they make it seem, right? But, you know, I knew what I was getting myself into when I signed up for the show. And that's that. I just, you know, I'm very grateful for the opportunity to be there. And people who give me compliments, you know, I'm happy. And for, you know, people who hate out there, I really just try to ignore it.
Now, you're one of those guys who's always had an open heart in terms of just life in general, fighting in general, but, you know, you're just an all-around good guy. When you saw a guy like Vic telling Chad, as an example, you have friends here, did that bother you at all? Or just say, you know what, good on you, Vic, good call.
No, for sure, great on him. You know, like the last thing in the world that Cajun needs to feel after losing the fight is that there's nobody there for him. You know, so that was definitely a classy move on Vic's part. And before that, you know, Cajun and Vic have had issues on the show. So for him to step up and do that was definitely a great move.
And I concur. I think kudos should go out to Vic. I mean, like I said before, people that listen to this radio show, I was lucky enough to be in Montreal. I don't know where you dudes were, but the whole Team Australia was in the lobby with me, and I was watching some of the stuff that was on UFC.tv. I was catching up on some fights, so I had their whole team around me. So I got to meet some of them, and I got to tell you, man, they're no different than us, man. These guys are super, super nice guys. Yeah, there's some characters. It is what it is. But now that so we're at the point now, you've made it to the finale. We didn't really see much of a celebration. We might see it in future episodes. I just don't know. But now when you realized, yes, you were victorious over Cajun, you did knock him out, but there must have been a sense, oh my goodness, I'm going to the finale.
Yeah, it was definitely bittersweet, right? Like obviously I was very excited that I won, but I knew that he was also hurt, so I definitely couldn't celebrate too much. But deep down inside, I'm like, wow, I almost can't believe that that this is happening right now, you know. And it really took some time to set in. But then right away, my wheels started turning again, and I was thinking 100%. As soon as that fight was done, April 16th. And that's been my main concern since then.
Oh, I am absolutely salivating to find out who you're going to be fighting next. And obviously, we don't know because we haven't seen the show yet, but I'm looking forward to find out. The one thing that I read his blog. I didn't have a chance to read your blog. I have it on my phone as we speak right now, and I don't want to read it while I'm actually talking to you. But I did read Cajun's blog, and it was a tweet that he sent off. He said that I've been living a lie since the Ultimate Fighter Nations because I've been telling people I had my wisdom teeth pulled out. Yeah, so listen, he can't really say what happened, right? At the same time, you've been living a lie up until yesterday because no one knows you made it to the finale. Is there a sense of relief now to say, yeah, man, look at me, I finally did it, I'm going to be fighting in the big show, and this is the biggest fight of my life?
For sure. It's a huge weight that's lifted off my shoulders right now, right? So, coming home from that, you know, I had two great wins. I'm going to have the biggest fight of my life coming up, and I had to keep quiet. I couldn't tell anybody about it. So now that it's finally out there, you know, it's awesome. And I was very lucky to be able to fight first on the show because there's guys who fight last who still can't, who can't say anything for like a month still almost, right? So.
Oh, the beauty of reality TV. It is definitely not easy.
Exactly.
Training camp. Let's talk about training camp. We're less than a month away, man. We're less than a month away from the biggest fight of your career. There's a six-figure contract on the line here, six-figure money we're talking here, but obviously a contract with the Ultimate Fighting Championship. You're already deep into camp. We're not going to know if you're going to be fighting Olivier, if you're going to be fighting Rich, if there was an injury, someone else steps in. We don't know until the show actually airs, but tell us, how is training camp going right now?
Training camp has been awesome. You know, right when I got home from the show, which was in December, I took a week away with my family when we went to Florida, actually, over Christmas. And then right since there, it's pretty much when my training camp has started. I've been doing 2 days ever since that. You know, training has been awesome. I spent some time down at Jeff Curran's down there in Chicago. With Mark Hominick being retired now, he's kind of taken over a lot of the coaching role out of my gym back home here in London. And I make it up to Parabellum, too, in Oakville to train with kind of all the top pros in Ontario. And, you know, like right now, I'm injury-free, feeling sharp, ready to go. On April 16th, I'm definitely going to be bringing it.
Any sparring with Pat Curran?
I sparred a few rounds with Pat, but he was also fighting a lefty, so he was sparred a lot with Jesse Ronson.
Oh, no way. But what was that like with Pat?
He's awesome, man. I did a lot of wrestling and jiu-jitsu and stuff with him, and he's an absolute killer. You know, he's very, very slick, and I was super pumped watching this fight the other day.
All right, so I mean, this finale is coming up real quick. You have a lot of family traveling with you. It's a long way. Quebec City's no joke, man. It's not that close to us.
No. It's definitely further than I think people will realize.
Listen, your better half. What did she say when she's seeing all the stuff go down?
Ah, she's awesome. You know, she's definitely my biggest supporter, and I think it's definitely kind of a little surreal. You know, like her and I would just sit here and watch the show together, and then she kind of sees me on TV, right? But she's definitely the best girl in the world, and I'm super lucky to have her.
Tell me the truth, man. She's putting in your place because you're becoming a star.
For sure. To her, I'm definitely the same old guy. Fighting in the UFC or not, she knows who I am, and she's still the boss.
Now, like I said, the finale's getting close. Wednesday, April 16th, we're going to see it on Sportsnet 360. I'm going to be out there with the team. We're going to be covering it. I'm going to be very excited for you, and of course, any other the Canadians that make it out there. I'm thinking there's a lot more to go on this show. Agree or disagree, we are still not done with this drama.
100%. There's so much more that's going to that happened that will air in the show, and you guys don't want to miss out.
All right, listen, I don't believe that you're doing 2 days, because if I know you, you're doing 3 days, 4 days. You're getting kicked out of the gym by Mark and Sam and Jesse, and you're going to other gyms. So listen,
that definitely happened.
I'm calling all the gyms tonight and saying, get them out of there. Don't let them overtrain.
Thank you. Sometimes I need that. You know, people tell me too much out there, but I can't stop myself. You know, I'm just motivated, and I will win this fight on April 16th.
Brother, I'm looking forward to seeing you. Hopefully we catch up beforehand. If not, I will see you in Quebec City, and let's cross our fingers, man, that there is no snow there.
Thank you very much, Joe. We'll talk soon, buddy.
There you go. Chad Lapree is victorious yesterday in the Ultimate Fighter Nations. He is the first Canadian on the show to make it to the finale. Ultimate Fighter Nations, Canada versus Australia. The finale goes down Wednesday, April 16th, Quebec City. It's going to be fantastic. Patrick Kotick will be taking on Kyle Noak. We're also going to have the middleweight finale there. A bunch of really good fights. Mitch Gagnon's on this card. Mark Bochic on this card. It is absolutely stacked, and I can't wait to get out there. I really hope that arena gets sold out because it's going to be absolutely fantastic. All right. So that's Chad. He's in a tournament, a reality show tournament, which is not easy to do anyways, because as you heard, the fight's announced one day. He's got to make weight the next day. He's fighting the next day. Not an easy thing to do. But realistically speaking, what's difficult, in my opinion, just imagine competing like they did in the old days, and now they're doing it again with Battlegrounds MMA. Brian O'Rourke and his team is putting on that single elimination, one night, eight-man tournament. I'm doing whatever I can to get down to Tulsa on June 27th. $50,000 goes to the winner. There's going to be some modified rules, which Brian will get into right now. Listen, man, I'm doing whatever I can to get down there because this is going to be historic. I really, really believe it. We got Brian on the line, boys. All right, Brian, what's going on, my man?
Joe, hey, man. I appreciate you having me on. I'm here in Oklahoma City for the NCAA Wrestling Tournament Championship, and excited to have you down here. I hope that you guys can make it down for sure and check out what we've got going on in Tulsa and with Battlegrounds MMA for the eight-man tournament.
First things first, how did this come together? How did this end? Like, I've known you for a while, and you come up with some of the craziest things, but this, in my opinion, is amazing. I mean, how did this come to be?
Well, Joe, you know, there's a big gap between the UFC and even Bellator, and there's a huge gap between Bellator and pretty much everybody else, you know? So for all of us promotions that are kind of stuck in the mid-tier, you have to figure out a way to differentiate yourself if you want to get into that upper tier, and this is exactly how we can do it. You know, there's so much out there that's just kind of left open because all of the bigger names are signed with the UFC. Bellator has a lot of the foreign talent wrapped up. World Series of Fighting has some great names on there, but, you know, in my opinion, they're just not doing enough fights. I would love to see those guys putting on at least one fight a month and kind of getting some more shows out, you know, and on TV. But, you know, that's what we're looking to do. We're looking to kind of fill that gap and provide, you know, an exciting format that everybody's familiar with, at least all the fans that have been around for a while are all familiar with, and, you know, and kind of turn the new fans onto it.
Now, the fact that it's an eight-man single elimination tournament, one night, the rules had to be slightly modified. Am I correct?
Absolutely. And you know, fighter safety is paramount. Rich Cho, the former Strikeforce matchmaker, and I started working on this about a year ago, you know, and I continued to work on it for 11 months with input from Dr. Julian Bells, who is a neurosurgeon and the chief consultant for the NFL and NCAA football. You know, where obviously those guys have a lot more concussions than even we do in combat sports. So, you know, we literally left no stone unturned. We wanted to make sure that fighter safety was key. And, you know, we modified the rules, but we didn't modify them so much that it's watered down. The major differences from the standard rules, from the unified rules, is that we are not allowing elbows to the face or head during the opening or semifinal round. Then they are allowed in the championship round. And then the other huge difference is, and this is huge also, Joe, because, you know, you get guys that are walking around at 200 pounds pulling down to, you know, 155, 170. And, I mean, these guys literally are just making crazy pulls. Well, that's not necessarily the safest thing in the world. So we put a 10% weight gain for fight day from the previous night's weigh-ins on, you know, a cap on those fighters. So if you weigh in at 170, you can put on 17 pounds, you know, for your fight the next night.
What happens, though? Do you have a backup plan if one of those guys hits 190 or something?
Well, then you know what? They're disqualified, and they'll have to have an alternate in. That's, you know, that's one way that we've really kind of separated ourselves from the rest of the fight promotions, is that we take weight very seriously. And if somebody comes in overweight, you know, first of all, the commission would have to approve it. But if the commission does approve it and it's within an allowable limit, then they're gonna hand over 25% of their purse to their opponent. And let's say, for example, if a guy comes in, you know, a pound or two overweight for the tournament, you know, and they're above their allowable weight gain for the next day, then, you know, but the commission still passes it, they could go all the way to the championship round, and they're going to have to cut off 25% to each one of those opponents, you know, split equally between all of them. So, you know, we've covered our bases pretty well, and, you know, we want to make it fair. If somebody wins a fight, and we want it to be because they're the more skillful fighter that night, because they had the better game plan that night, or maybe they got a little bit lucky that night, but not because they cheated and purposefully came in overweight. We expect these guys to be professionals just like every other organization does.
You're listening to UFC Central Radio right now on the Sportsnet Radio Network, and we're talking to Brian O'Rourke. You can follow him online at Brian with a Y, O'Rourke. He's the managing partner for Battlegrounds MMA, and they're bringing history back, man. This is going to be a fantastic card. June 27th at the Box Center. Is it Box, Brian, or BOK?
BOK. BOK, Oklahoma Center.
Well, okay, listen, I'm Canadian. I'm calling it Box.
I couldn't tell by your accent.
All right, now, have you had a chance yet to figure out, A, which weight class is going to kick this thing off? Because I know you're doing more than one. And number two, any names to announce just yet?
You know what? We're going to hold off on the names, but I'll give you a little cookie here. The tournament is going to be a welterweight tournament. So, and we are talking to some of the best available veterans that are out there, you know, so the format that we're looking at is some seasoned veterans that are checking to see if they've got enough gas in the tank to maybe make another run at the big show again. We've got some very solid mid-tier guys, you know, that maybe they lost one, lost two, whatever, but they're still solid, tough fighters that, you know, that have some of that big show experience, but, you know, they could also be, you know, just due to the roster cuts and the roster being so full, you know, with the UFC, as opposed to just, you know, going out there and stinking it up. And then, you know, what excites me the most is solid up-and-comers. You know, we've got several very, very solid up-and-comers from some of the biggest camps, you know, what we call the super camps from around the MMA world. And, you know, we can gauge, you know, a couple of fighters that we've seen fight before, we can kind of gauge what we think they're going to be able to do. You know, we can kind of predict the outcomes on those a little bit better. But what's exciting to me is these guys that, you know, the top stars in MMA are saying, hey, this is my protege. This guy is the prodigy. This guy is the next future champion. This guy has what it takes. Putting those guys against those seasoned vets and against those mid-tier gatekeepers, that is what is exciting to me. So we're trying to build, you know, the future of the sport and really kind of make legends out of these guys in one night.
Well, anyone that doesn't believe that a legend or at least a star is going to be born on June 27th is out of their tree, in my opinion. But the other question that you and I, A, never discussed in Dallas, nor do we discuss this in Vegas, is the winner of this tournament, you know Joe Silva or Sean Shelby is going to come calling. What do you do in that situation?
You know what? We take that phone call. You know, obviously, you know, as a credentialed media member, I've got a great relationship with the UFC. And that's another beautiful thing about, you know, about the current setup that we have now, too. We're not trying to completely and totally tie guys down. You know, if these guys win our tournament and then I get a call from Sean or from Joe saying, hey, we need this guy, let's get him up, whatever, we're going to let him go. We're going to push these guys over. You know, they're going to have an opportunity to win $50,000. I don't think that works out as well in Canadian as it does in the U.S., but you know, we're going to give these guys a chance to, you know, to get a bigger purse than what they could get at a lower tier, you know, and even sometimes at the mid-tier in the bigger organizations, and they can do that in one night. And then, you know, if that phone call happens, obviously we're going to let those guys talk to them, and you know, we'll go from there.
Have you had any conversations with television or broadcasting partners yet?
Absolutely, Joe, and that's, you know, it's kind of funny. You know, Rich had a ton of experience negotiating for the former Elite XC, and then, you know, obviously Strikeforce bought them. So he had a heavy hand in the Showtime and CBS negotiation. You know, he's had a heavy hand with Access TV. I've got a relationship with Access TV. You know, there are quite a few actually that we've been talking with. You know, some pay-per-view partners as well that are very interested, and you know, that so far they just, you know, they're not really throwing the numbers out at me that excite me. And, you know, I have no doubt in my mind that we'll be able to sell that arena out and have a packed house in there just because it's so exciting and because of the names that we have attached to the tournament right now. And it's only getting better. I mean, the names that Rich calls and talks to me about on a daily basis, I mean, they float my boat, and you're going to get pretty giddy about it too when I'm able to talk to you a little bit more about it. But, you know, that's just the thing. We're literally looking to sell this thing out, and if we have it broadcast, great. And if we don't, then we'll wait. You know, a lot of these broadcast partners, they really seem to think that you should jump at the first offer and just be so excited to take exactly what they throw out at you on the first go. But that's not how we work. I would rather, you know, self-produce. I would rather hold on to the assets myself and then say, look, here's what we did. Here's what we have to offer. Here's what we bring to the table. Now let's really get serious about this and talk numbers.
Well, we're 3 months away, and you're definitely going to be on this radio show, and I'm sure I'll be hopefully running into you sooner rather than later. We'll discuss as this whole event continues to evolve. But the final question I want to ask you is, obviously, my boss, your good friend, Bobby Torrens, wants to know if you're going to have a super heavyweight tournament, if he can enter, and if the winner will get a lifetime supply of hot dogs and mac and cheese.
In Oklahoma, we have some of the best hot dogs and best mac and cheese available. Plus, gasoline is really cheap here. So I may even throw in a $500 gas card for Bobby if he comes in and wins the deal. But, yeah, on the serious side, we actually are looking forward to putting on a tournament for every weight class, both male and female. The female field is a lot tougher because – the fighters that are developed on the female side, they're either signed with Invicta or the UFC. So it makes my job a little bit tougher. You know, it makes Rich's job a little bit tougher. And with the requirements that the Oklahoma State Athletic Commission, have approved for this tournament format, you have to have 10 fights. There are exceptions that we can make, but they have to be solid exceptions. You know, for example, one of the guys that we have on this welterweight tournament is out of a camp in California, one of the super camps out of California, and, you know, a very well-known trainer and coach and manager out there has literally staked his reputation on this guy being prepared. And the only reason he has less than 10 fights is because people won't fight him. So, you know, he gets matched up and people pull out or people just won't take the fights against him, period, because he has such a strong collegiate wrestling resume and comes from such a strong camp and has those guys that are the top superstars and actually a champion or two in that camp, you know, saying, hey, this guy's the next big thing. So it's going to be tougher with women, Joe, because, you know, it's still developing. So I think that's an area where we're going to have to spend a little bit of money and kind of help develop the women's, the women's divisions a little bit. And, you know, maybe it'll be an opportunity if Shannon is willing to send some girls over to us. And, you know, we'd be happy to place them also. I haven't spoken to her in quite some time. So, you know, no telling if that conversation will happen or not, but we're open, you know, and we want to help the sport. We're just as interested as everybody else is in developing the sport and making it better for all the fighters.
Life is all about finding your niche, and I think you guys have done it, and I think it's going to be a fantastic ride, and I'm looking forward to it, and I got to get myself down there and Bobby down there, and we'll have ourselves a great time enjoying it. I probably won't be talking to you that night if I do show up, because I know what it's like to promote MMA events and the stress that you go under. But listen, I want to thank you very much for joining us tonight. I want to wish you the best of luck, and I know we'll have you on as we get closer to the event.
Thank you, Joe. Tell Bobby you need that budget, and I expect both of you guys to be down here.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Brian O'Rourke. Follow him online at Brian O'Rourke, because this thing with Battlegrounds MMA, in my opinion, is going to take off, and I want to wish them the best of luck, and I'm doing whatever I can to get down there because I think it's going to be fantastic. All right, coming up after the break, we're going to hear from Laith Kapoor to talk about this town hall session that he's going to be having here in Toronto. I will let him explain everything, but this is big for the world of mixed martial arts, especially when you're bringing in UFC executives to come and speak there. You're listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome back to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. Thank you very much to all of you listening around the world. But I got to give a special thanks to Trevor Morgan out in Vancouver, BC, who listens to this show religiously every single week and gives me his feedback. This guy, follow him on Twitter. I think it's at UFC Vancouver. he's going to freak out on me if I don't get it right. But Trevor Morgan, thanks, buddy. Appreciate you. Appreciate all your support. I see this guy at so many different mixed martial arts events, UFC events. And I love all those fans. Thanks to all those fans out in Australia that are giving me all that love. I really appreciate it. A couple of people following me from South Africa now. Love you guys. Thank you very, very much. Really appreciate the kind words. And special thanks to all my pals that I met out in Dallas for the first time for following me. Really appreciate it. Thank you very, very much. We do the best we can here in Canada to bring you a different scope of the Ultimate Fighting Championship, of mixed martial arts, and anything and everything about the sport that I love so much that I've been following since day one. So special thanks to and all the fans out in the UK and Ireland, Europe, Italy. Man, thank you very, very much. You guys are too kind. Thank you. Really, really appreciate it. All my Brazilian pals and Mexicans, you Latinos are nuts. I love you guys. You guys are crazy. But thank you for all the kind words out in Dallas. So many people that I met down there had such a great time. But then I come home. Actually, while I was in Dallas, I get some information, some follow-up information about a big event taking place in Toronto. And for those that don't know, if you don't know me long enough, I'm a student of anything and everything that has to do with the world of mixed martial arts, whether it's fighting, analytical stuff, the business side, the pay-per-view side, but various studies and various legalities in terms of mixed martial arts. I used to promote events. I used to manage fighters. I used to matchmake. I used to do so many different things. I love the broadcasting side. But I got this information from a friend of mine named Wayne Lewis that originally came from a pal of mine named Eric McGrath, and who you've heard on the show before. There's a town hall going down in Toronto. It looks at the impacts and developments in the study of brain injuries and the emergence of mixed martial arts. And there's so many things that you need to really need to touch on and educate ourselves on when it comes to brain injuries, when it comes to legalities and contracts in mixed martial arts from a business perspective. And right now, no man better than Laith Kapoor, who's going to join us momentarily. He is going to be chairing a town hall in Toronto. You definitely have to check it out. I'll allow Laith to basically explain everything here. But in my opinion, this is one of those situations that is going to be big, big news, hopefully beforehand, and especially afterwards as it continues to grow, because he's bringing in some power players, not just himself, because this guy's been around for a while and does fantastic work with some of the team that he has put together and especially his firm. Let's bring on Laith right now. Laith, what's going on, my man?
Joe, how you doing, brother? Thank you for having me on.
No problem. So let's open up the floor here, and no pun intended, seeing as you are the chair of an upcoming town hall. But at the same time, what is this all about? What was the genesis of putting this together?
Well, I'll take you all the way back. So, Joe, I used to be a fighter. I was a provincial boxer. I competed in kickboxing. And this is before I went to university. So I remember what it was like to be on the road and going out to Montreal, heading out to the U.S. and competing, and realizing how tough it was to get the recognition for the sport that I love so much. When I finished fighting, I went to law school, and the sport really continued to blossom. So part of what happened when I graduated from law school and I continued to practice, I really saw the combative community. These are the MMA fighters. These are the kickboxers, the boxers, the tough guys fighting, but it was really difficult to find that spotlight. We have to find places to compete. And so when I started to practice, we saw an opportunity to really highlight what was going on. So the event that you're alluding to, the town hall, is being put on by two fantastic organizations. One is the Ontario Bar Association, which every practicing lawyer in the province of Ontario is a member of, as well as the Sports Lawyers Association, which is the largest international organization for lawyers practicing in sports law. So this is all of your NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball. So these are all the lawyers. So these two organizations have come together to really put together a town hall looking at the business, the legal, and also just the fan experience. And we're having that on the 25th of March next week.
Now, this is not just catering to lawyers, though.
Absolutely not. And this is exactly what we wanted to have. And my chair, Bob Tarantino, who helped me put this together, and with Wayne as well, who you mentioned earlier, we want to break that group into three areas. We want the lawyers who are dealing with the contract and the substantive areas, the moral clauses, the breach issues that happen in MMA-related contracts. That's one group. Then we have the second group of the academic people, and you alluded to that earlier. So I've had a lot of people in the work that I do in my practice who are doctors, who are students, who really want to try to understand the implications of the concussions and how we get people back out. So this is the academic group, the second component. And the third are the enthusiasts, the people who have seen the sport blossom and grow and get the recognition that it's deserved after many, many years of sort of finding our way and competing against the major four North American-based sports leagues.
you take a look at mixed martial arts nowadays, just from a personal perspective, I want to ask you, you take a look at where you came from in terms of the combat sports world to where mixed martial arts is right now. We'll get into the parties that you've brought in from the Ultimate Fighting Championship. But when you look at it from a business perspective, what does this mean to the legal industry that it's getting so big?
Well, it's funny, Joe. You know what? One of the things I love about the sport is that it's so young and it's so fresh. And one of the speakers is Michael Mersch, and Michael's a friend of mine. He's a great guy. But I think what it speaks to is the fact that this sport reaches out to young people and people who are marginalized outside of the mainstream. And bringing that together, the legal profession is also something that sometimes takes a while to change. So I think that bringing all of this together really allows an opportunity for a dialogue to happen between these three groups. And I think what really drives the program are programs like you, Joe, that are getting and getting to the grassroots of where people are competing and enjoying this sport and why it's been able to see the phenomenal success.
We're talking to Laith Kapoor right now. You can follow him online via Twitter, at Laith Kapoor. He's putting on together this incredible town hall going down March 25th, 2014 in the city of Toronto. Laith is a Canadian sports, entertainment, and crisis management attorney with, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Lucentum Sports Entertainment Law?
Gio, you're always right, brother. Perfect.
I appreciate that. Make sure you follow Laith online. Now, Laith, how have your peers taken to this? Have you had any backlash, or is everyone open arms right now?
You know what? I've had tremendous support from the organizers. And I think part of it is that we've seen a real change, even in the legal profession. And it's one of the changes that we've seen generally as a society where younger, newer, fresher ideas, people are more willing to embrace it. And I think mixed martial arts is really an epitome of that. But I will say that one of my colleagues who will be speaking on the panel, Dave Goldstein, is also going to be able to tie that together with that huge NFL settlement, concussion settlement that's out there, and the existing NHL concussion settlement. So we're going to try to tie together all of the major themes that we see going on in the other professional sports and then try to connect that in the spirit of what's going on in MMA, because we're going to be able to have Tom Wright and we're going to have Michael Mersch there as well. And so these two gentlemen are going to be able to not only talk about what's been going on, but also be able to give hopefully an idea of where things are going in Canada and what type of events we're going to see and give the fans an idea of what's to come.
Now, do you think Michael and Tom will open up a little bit about the Cleveland Clinic study?
Well, you know what? One of the things, I had a conference call with Michael just on Tuesday night, and Michael was very happy when I said, Michael, we're going to have a strong presence from the fans and supporters there. And I've seen Michael in action. I know that he cares about the sport and the idea of providing that kind of information. I'll leave that to him, but I certainly know he's aware that this is going to be a high-profile event, and I've seen him knock it out of the park 1,000 times.
What is your end result from this when it's all said and done? What are you trying to get out there in terms of, okay, because in my opinion, I'll be honest with you, I don't think this is going to be the first one. I'll be strictly honest with you. I think there's going to be more after this. What is the end result that you're hoping to get out of this one, though?
For me, I think it's more awareness and for everyone to realize that the business of sport has many layers, and having the different components sit down together and have a conversation where each side can appreciate where the others are coming from. And I think really for me personally, where it comes from is the love of the sport, the love of competing. Like I said, I grew up in a gym, and I know how athletic and combative, if done and trained with a coach who shows you what you need to do, can change your life. And I think that this program is really trying to be that opportunity for those fans who love this sport to be a part of the discussion of what's going on in the legal and the business side. Because I think in any sport, if you lose that connection to the people that made this event and this sport what it is, I think that's where you go in the wrong direction. And we're trying to bring those people together. So we don't want anyone to be intimidated by the fact that the program is going to be held at the Bar Association offices. It's an open event, and so folks can feel free. The last thing I should mention, we've asked them, it's going to be webcasted, so it's going to be available all over the world. We have organizations in Europe, all over the United States that will be calling into the program. But the really cool thing, Joe, is that Toronto becomes the center of the MMA world, so everyone tunes in to see what's happening in Toronto.
Yes, the Mecca of mixed martial arts. Dana White took it away from us, Laith. You know that. It's Brazil now. We cannot argue with Dana, but we have to bring it back to Toronto, and this is one of the ways of doing it. Let me try and get a prediction from you, and I'll tell you why I'm going to ask this, because I'm going to bring my mouth guard now, knowing that you've trained before, you've competed before. I hope you don't punch me, but I'm going to ask you anyways. Bill S209, Bill S-209 officially made professional mixed martial arts legal in Canada. But now there are interpretations that, guess what, pals? Amateur mixed martial arts is no longer legal unless changed at the provincial level. Do you think the criminal code will be opened up again to change Bill S-209? Or will this remain a situation that you think that, you know what? Nah, dude, it is province by province. It's up to the commissions and the bodies there.
Joe, it's a great question. And you know what? I get many calls like this. I actually had a call a few months ago about an event that took place, the Island Inferno down there in PEI. And you know what? It's a tragedy what's been happening. And really part of my motivation as a Forge lawyer, because I deal with these issues and I try to, as much as I can, to impress upon the respective government officials that if these issues aren't dealt with in a uniform way, it really becomes an oppressive situation for young boys and girls who are competing and training. So I would suspect that this is something that I hope would create a uniformity, even though the criminal code is a federal piece of statute and it should be applied across Canada uniformly. It's not happening. And I think a town hall like this creates a platform where individuals are going to be coming together and having that discussion. Even though the regulations are done provincially, we need to make sure that they're connected and speaking to each other. Because, again, there needs to be consistency. And what we're seeing so far is a real lack of consistency and symmetry. And really, it's creating what's called at law a chilling effect. People are terrified to do anything because they're not sure if the police are going to intervene, if there's going to be any real repercussions. And it's happened a number of times. And it's something that I personally don't want to see happen again.
You and I haven't been living in this country since for a very long time. We won't give away our ages here. But at the same time, minor hockey, as an example, has a development system that will get players to the QMJHL, the OHL, the CHL, the Western Hockey League, which eventually will get them either to the AHL or get them to the NHL or to compete around the world. There is a development system in minor hockey. There's a development system in soccer. All these sports have development systems. What we don't have in this country, or even globally when you think about it, is a true amateur mixed martial arts system. Do you think a forum of this nature will help get to politicians to understand the importance of amateur mixed martial arts so that, you know, a guy like myself who was there from the beginning of George St. Pierre's career can go to a promoter and say, here's what I would recommend. We can build so many more George St. Pierre's out of this country, but we need an amateur system. Do you think a forum like this will one day help develop and convince these politicians the importance of amateur mixed martial arts in Canada?
Joe, I think it's going to take a team approach. And I think that this conversation that we're having and the relationship that we've had is exactly what needs to happen. The reality is we need to have promoters of the sport, guys that know exactly what's happening in every gym and have the relationships at the table. And then you also need people like myself and the members at the bar, because part of it is this is a business and legal aspect. And if we're sitting at the same table, then we begin to look at what makes sense. Because when you look at a global event, you need to make sure that, yes, it may be global, but there are some regional issues that allow the uniqueness and individuality of each jurisdiction to work. But I agree with you that this is where it needs to happen, but it hasn't been happening. So this is why a program like this, I agree with you, it's just the start. For me, as a sports lawyer, it's for me to help get buy-in as well from other members of the profession, because we're so accustomed to dealing with the big four professional leagues. I think this is why an event like this and the Bar Association stepping out with the Sports Lawyers Association and taking a firm stand on a new, fresh, developing sport to show that this is what happens when you build from up, from the grassroots. And this is why you and I have been working so well together. But we need, you know, the listeners, the fans that are so much the lifeblood of the sport to come out, share their expression, speak to their business friends, their legal colleagues, because this sport will not be able to continue within the next 10 or 15 or 20 years to have the same phenomenal success if we have a disconnect and everyone's not at the table.
Well, for whatever it's worth, my pen and paper, my pad, my folder, my UFC folder with all the paper and pens is already in my vehicle. I'm already good to go, and it's not until 25th of March. We got 30 seconds here. Give us the final details where people can get more information, please.
The event is being held downtown at the Ontario Bar Association offices, March 25th. It is available through webcast. There are very few spaces, so one of the things you're going to be able to do is ask Michael Mersch and Tom Wright and Dave Goldstein particular questions in a very, very intimate setting. So folks looking to register, the information, if you follow me on Twitter, at LayThGafoor, LayThGafoor, we'll get the information out to you. And I appreciate all of your help and support, Joe. This is a good step towards bringing something that has real substance together.
As I told you a couple of days ago, do not thank me. Look in the mirror. Thank you very much for inviting me. I can't wait to see you on Tuesday.
Brilliant. Thank you, my friend.
There you have it, Laith Kafoor. Follow him online. Special thanks to Laith, Chad LaPrise, and of course, Brian O'Rourke. Man, this is going to be another busy weekend in the world of mixed martial arts, because this Sunday, not Saturday, this Sunday on Sportsnet 360, UFC Fight Night, Shogun versus Henderson 2, one of the greatest fights that originally happened in the history of the Ultimate Fighting Championship. The rematch will go on. It's going to be 5 straight hours of action on Sportsnet 360, starting at 5 p.m. Eastern, running all the way till 10 p.m. Eastern. Special thanks to all the guests, my boys behind the glass. Guys, thank you very much for tuning in. Much more next week right here on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.